There was another world group with an interest in our government-run school system, the Communist Party. Communism was just another mechanism to accomplish the goals of total global domination by international bankers. And the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto called for free education for all children in government schools and the combination of education with industrial production. And communists infiltrated the teachers' unions. In 1952, Dr. Bella Dodd of New York testified before the U.S. Senate subcommittee to investigate the administration of the Internal Service Act that, quote, "The majority of the people in the top leadership of the New York Teachers Union were communists, or at least were influenced by the communist organization in the city," unquote. The significance of that revelation was made a little clearer by the earlier declaration of Ford Foundation President Rowan Gaither that the Ford Foundation, another tax-exempt foundation set up like the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and the Rockefeller Foundation, was to, quote, "use our grant-making power to so alter life in the United States that we can comfortably be merged with the Soviet Union," unquote. In 1958, after the Russians beat the Americans into space with Sputnik, creating an apparent national education crisis, President Eisenhower signed the National Defense Education Act, which launched massive new government spending on education involving modern techniques developed from scientific principles. These quote-unquote modern techniques, however, included modern math and were largely funded by foundations that aimed not at catching up to Russia, but at holding us back so that the USSR could catch up to us. The 1960s arrived with changed educational focuses on the group rather than the individual, on emotional health rather than academic learning, on behavior modification rather than academic excellence, on national rather than local control. A concerted effort was underway to undermine students' moral backgrounds, replacing their family's values with a more humanist, self-determined set of ethics. And the plutocrats were hard at work in all of it. In 1964, the Carnegie Foundation established a committee that produced the National Assessment of Educational Progress, or NAEP, not the innocuous-sounding goal that it appears, but rather one designed to, quote, track conformity to government-generated goals, unquote. Later, in 1983, Carnegie clinched its control of educational inputs by contracting with its own educational testing service, founded by Carnegie in 1947, to administer the NAEP tests, which not only tracked academic progress of all students, but also related it to other personal data collected and stored by its own educational testing service. In 1968, an article in The Instructor by University of Pittsburgh professor Dr. Paul Brandwine identified the need to teach parents to enable them to assist in the fulfillment of these national education goals. Quote, "Education as a profession and enterprise would join forces with government and industry to support education of the parent in the mode, manner, and morality befitting the early education of children. Teachers and behavioral scientists, psychologists, psychiatrists, sociologists, students of child development would be called upon. We have common, indeed universal, communication with the home through radio, television, and printed materials, and soon other aspects of electronic technology will be available," unquote. Do you see why the plutocracy regards control of the media as critically important to their plans? In 1969, the state of Hawaii published its Master Plan for Public Education, which was to serve as a model for all 50 states. It identified the changes in education, movement away from a solid, academically-based liberal education towards a touchy-feely, village-oriented plan utilizing mind-altering drugs and values clarification. Quote, "The school system will systematically study the benefits of any promising non-educational input to enhance learning. Recent discoveries from the field of biochemistry suggest that there already exists a fairly extensive class of drugs to improve learning, such as persistence, attentiveness, immediate memory, and long-term memory. The application of biochemical research findings, heretofore centered in lower forms of animal life, will be a source of conspicuous controversy when children become the objects of such experimentation. Schools will conceivably be swept into a whole new area of collaboration and research with biochemists and psychologists to improve learning. The immediate and long-term impact on teaching, as well as on learning, and the ethical and moral consequences of extensive use of chemicals to assist the learning process must be studied extensively." Our past also has shown that society courts trouble when it clings stubbornly to outmoded values after experience has clearly shown that they need to be revised. Some will argue, of course, that direct and purposeful effort at changing value orientations of pupils is of no concern to the schools. But from what we know of the pupil and his development, the school is inescapably involved in influencing his moral values and ethical structure. Not only were schools to shape and influence our values and beliefs, using drugs if necessary, they were also to condition us, when motivated by fear, to look to government for solutions. People Control Blueprint, an article by Carol Denton in the May 1972 issue of the National Educator, told that a top-secret paper from the Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions reveals a plan for total control of the people of the United States through behavioral modification techniques of B.F. Skinner, the controversial behaviorist author of Beyond Freedom and Dignity. Because of growing demands for law and order, the population is now more apt to support governmental repression than previously in response to their own fears. With the rising population, depletion of natural resources, and the increase of pollution, repressive measures may have to be used to guarantee survival of our species. These measures may take the form of forced sterilization, greatly restricted uses of energy, and limits on population movement and living location. Operant conditioning, sensitivity training, and other behavioral techniques can be used to control the population through positive reinforcement. In order to get Woodrow Wilson's larger class fit to perform specific difficult manual tasks, there could be no more teaching that was conducive to developing the independent entrepreneurial mind. No more was teaching to focus on developing human potential by application of knowledge. No more were students to be judged on what they knew, but rather on how they performed. Using Skinner's behavioral modification, the plutocrats controlling the schools could produce the large class of human resources that they needed for their factories. Professor James Block described this new kind of teaching in a 1979 article in Educational Leadership. Quote, mastery learning encourages cooperative individualism in student learning as opposed to selfish competition. Just how much room is there left in the world for individualists who are more concerned with their own performance than the performance of others? Unquote.